Let's take our Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 16. The Gospel of Luke and chapter 16. Last week we had the message, Learning to be Faithful in Big and Little Things. Learning to be faithful in big and little things. And last week our text was Luke 16, verse 10. Would you notice that verse with me again? Jesus speaks these words, Luke 16, verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. And so last week we were being encouraged to be faithful in big and little things. Little things make up most of our everyday life. Little things, you know? Getting up in the morning, well, that's a big thing. No, just little things. Just getting up in the morning, are we gonna pray or just rush to our duties? Are we going to consider the Lord, going to seek His help today, Lord? Would You guide me? Lord, keep us safe as we work. I pray that You would, help my kids in school today. And just very simple things, but just seeking God for His protection, for His guidance, for His wisdom. Maybe there's a decision, you're contemplating. You're just saying, Lord, guide me in that. I want to make the right choice with that. Praying. It seems like a little thing, but all the little things of life, in daily life, they really are big things, and they affect our life in a big way. How we handle the little things. And so we learned the importance of handling big and little things faithfully. But I wanted to get real practical, because last week we didn't really get that practical as far as, okay, how do you be faithful with such and such and this and that? And so we're going to work through that, Lord willing, in the next several weeks. This morning, we're going to be talking about finances. In one of the passages we looked at last week in Matthew 25, the Lord Jesus Christ told us a parable or a story. He told us a story about what the kingdom of heaven is like, or what the economy of God is like. And He told us about these servants, and there were three mentioned. Three servants that the master entrusted with some money. One, He gave 5 talents of money. Another, how many? 2 talents. The first one was 5, second one was 2, and then the last of the servants mentioned, how many talents did he get? 1. And the Lord says in that passage in Matthew 25, he said that the Lord, the Master, gave this money to the servants according to their several ability, according to their abilities. And then he went away on a long journey to a far country. And it's an illustration, of course, of the Lord Jesus Christ having entrusted us with so much. One of the things that God has entrusted to us is money, resources, the ability to make resources, the ability to make money. The Bible talks a lot about being a good worker, hard work, a good work ethic. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. We ought to put our heart into things, and we ought to be a faithful employee. And if we have running a business, we ought to run it to honor God and treat people right and do fair business deals. And, all those kind of things are what God actually talks a lot about. In fact, the Bible talks a lot about money and possessions. And it's very practical and very helpful. I want to look at a few of those things here this morning. I'm sure this message is going to be a two-part on finances, and even at that, I'm not really covering that much, but I want to be practical. And so first off, I want to recall your mind back to the scripture we read at the beginning of the service from Deuteronomy 8, where the Lord says to the people of Israel, he says, beware, beware. He says, when you, and he had brought them out of Egypt, remember? And he was bringing them to where? The promised land. It was a place described in the Bible as flowing with milk and honey. It was a blessed land, fruitful, wonderful place. Except there were giants there. Yeah, there were some battles to fight. And even living this life in God's blessing, there's some battles to fight. There are. Yeah, but God gives the victory. And that's a wonderful thing. But you know, in that place of blessing, God said, beware. He said, when you come to that place of blessing and you build houses and you live in them, isn't that a wonderful thing to do? Build a house and live in it. And he says, when you, I'm just paraphrasing a little bit, but you know, when you cultivate the ground and plant your crops and have a big harvest and you got food coming out of your ears, and he says, when things are just going so well, he's, ooh, beware. Don't forget me. Don't forget the God who brought you out of Egypt. Don't forget the God who has sustained you. And he said another thing. He said, don't think my power and my might have gotten me this wealth. He says, because it is God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. It's God who gives us the ability to work, the mind to be able to think, the hands, the feet, the talents to be able to do this or manage an office or build this or drive there or haul that or to attend to someone's medical need or whatever. God gives us those abilities. You say, yes, I went to school for that, and that's great. But God gave you the mind, and God gave you ultimately the skill. And of course, we can, as we use it, we can become better and really utilizing to the full potential the abilities God's given to us. But the Lord warned them. And you know, we as a people, we are wealthy. I'll just be flat honest with you and me. We are some of the richest people in all the world. We are. We are in like the upper 1% of the world. Yeah, you and me. We are. We got food. We got a roof over our heads. We got clothes on our back and a lot more than that. We do. There are very few people in the world that have cars. But you and I, well, some of you, we got a vehicle, sometimes two or three. You know, we are wealthy. We are wealthy. And so we need to know how to manage it faithfully. We need to know how to live life for God and keep all of this stuff that's a part of life in a proper perspective. So let's get this straight off the bat, all right? And this is I did talk about this last week, but number one, I want you to understand that God owns everything. We need to get the ownership factor straight. I talked about that last week, but I want you to recognize, once again, when we talk about finances, talk about what God says about money, our life is not our own. We need to get the ownership factor straight so that we recognize our responsibility and accountability to God. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? God tells us that everything belongs to him. We are his. He created us. And especially if we have put our faith in Jesus Christ, he's bought us back. He's bought us. So we're twice his. We are twice his. We are doubly his. And everything is a gift from God. Every good and perfect gift, the book of James says, cometh down from the Father of lights. Every good and perfect gift. You know, God is the owner. We need to recognize that. Because, you know, we'll get things wrong. If we think, hey, I worked for this, I can do what I want with it. Or, you know, I'm going to live my life, you know, how I want. Because I can, you know, I'm my own boss. I'm going to do, well, that's the way of the world. But God's way is, I've given you life. And God says, now here's how I want you to live it. Here's the rules, here's the purpose, all of those things. But when it comes to our finances as well and our possessions, we need to recognize that, hey, it's really all God's. You know, the Bible talks about giving a tenth to the Lord, a tithe. Tithe means tenth. The Bible talks about giving a tenth to the Lord. But the fact of the matter is, the 100% is God's. How are we going to manage that? First of all, we need to recognize that he's the owner. I'm the steward. I'm the manager. The Bible uses the word steward. And the Bible says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So, get the ownership factor straight. That is important. Secondly, I want you to notice this morning, as we think about being faithful in our finances, and Luke 16, let's notice verse 13. The Bible says, no servant can serve two masters. Would you read that with me, what I just read? No servant can serve two masters. One more time. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. What's mammon? Wealth, money, possessions. We cannot serve two masters, God said. You can't serve God and serve money. You can't do it. You're going to do one or the other. You're either going to live for God and love him with your whole heart, or you're going to love money, serve money, what you can get and the power it gives. And this, you know, you can try to find your trust and your happiness, and you can pursue it in serving that master. Did you know you can serve the master of money and not have much of it? It's possible to be flat out broke and money's your master. In fact, many people who are flat broke are a slave, many times through debt. They are in slavery to money. And that's not where God wants us to be. He wants us to serve him and to serve him with our whole heart. And so, no man can serve two masters, God says. And so, not only do we need to get the ownership factor straight, God owns it all, but we need to guard our heart and serve the right master. Guard your heart. Now, I want you to go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy and chapter 6. Let's notice verse 6. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6. The Bible says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment is clothing, having food and clothing, let us be therewith content. Content. God wants us to learn to be content, right? To be thankful and to be settled with what we have. thankful and be able to, a content person enjoys what they have. A discontented person doesn't enjoy what they have, even if they have great things, because they're discontent. But someone can have just very little and be content. And God says, with food and raiment, let us be there with content. Notice verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. This idea here presented in this verse of those who will be rich. The idea is not, you know, just how life goes and 10 years from now you're going to have a bunch of money that, you know, your Uncle Abe willed to you, and, you know, that you're going to, that's not what the Bible is saying. That's not the will be rich, just sometime in the future it might happen. Somebody could be in this passage and never, ever, ever have much money and still have all of the problems because they will to be rich. Their will, their desire, their passion, their pursuit is for riches instead of for God. And notice the warning then in the passage. They that will, verse 9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. The Bible is not saying here that money is the root of all evil, but the love of money is the root of all evil. And so when we have the wrong mindset, the wrong heart attitude towards possessions, towards money, it becomes a really dangerous thing. Number one, it's our master. It becomes our master. We begin to live for it and to try to find our satisfaction in it and all of that kind of thing. And God says, some have forsaken the faith. In other words, they've strayed away from God because of this. They've fallen into temptation and a snare. Notice verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So we need to guard our heart. That's the point before us. So if we're going to handle finances faithfully, we need to first of all recognize who the owner is. All that I have is God's. So I need to pay attention to what he says so I can manage it in a way that would be faithful, because it's not mine, it's God's, and I will give account one day. So I need to get the ownership straight. But secondly, I need to guard my heart, because money has a way of stealing people's hearts. There are many people who have been ruined when they fell into that inheritance, or when they hit it big at the casino, or when they won the lottery or something like that. Not everybody, but many times people's lives have been absolutely destroyed. They trashed relationships they used to have, or, you know, whatever. And people oftentimes end up in a worse financial condition too, because they don't manage it well. So, not that it's wrong to have an Uncle Abe who leaves you something. That's not wrong at all. Gambling, on the other hand, but that's not, we're not going to talk about that here right now. But being faithful in finances, guard our heart. Money has a way of sneaking into our heart. But our heart should love God. You remember the verses, how many times it's quoted in the Bible. Love the Lord your God with all your, and all your, and all your, you know, right? Love the Lord your God. That's where our love should be. Our commitment should be to the Lord, the Creator, our Savior. Not to money, to the Almighty God, not to the Almighty dollar. The dollar will fail you. God will not. God will not. And so guard your heart. Thirdly, I want you this morning, as we think about being faithful in finances, I want you to commit to honest dealings. To honest dealings. God talks so much about honesty. We read Luke 16:10 here just a few moments ago. He that's faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. So, in big and little things, in big and little transactions, whether that's your time as an employee, are you treating the boss fair with your time, writing down the right time and that kind of thing. There are situations where the boss says, oh, you can go home early and I'll pay you to the end of the day anyway. You know, I had that. I had a boss say, you know, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a cold, snowy day, he says, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. You better go. You know, and he paid me for the full day's work, even though we didn't do the full day's work. But he's the boss. He can make that decision. But if we're cheating, you know, God knows, even if the boss doesn't. And we need to be honest in big and little things. And so commit to honest dealings. If we're a business owner, treating people fair. If we're, you know, if we're selling a vehicle, treating people fair. Being honest in our presentation. That matters to God. And it helps us to keep a right perspective. The Bible says in Proverbs 15 and verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God sees what our dealings. We need to keep things above board. We need to keep things, we need to do business with integrity. Treat others like we would like to be treated. So faithfulness in finances. Get ownership straight. Guard your heart, commit to honest dealings, and number four, seek godly counsel. Seek godly counsel. Many pitfalls can be avoided in our life if we would seek godly counsel. I believe the first counsel we need to seek is what we're doing right now, because God has a lot to say. There are over 2,000 verses in the Bible that talk about money and possessions. Over 2,000 verses. Jesus had a lot to say about money and possessions. We would do well to take heed. There are also times where it's wise to seek the counsel of another godly person, whether it's a parent that God's given us, whether it's certainly husbands and wives should talk about money and seek counsel, right, from one another, obviously. But sometimes there's big decisions, buying a house or buying a car. Should we get this one or that one? Should we get a new one or a used one? You know, asking some questions can be really helpful in not making a foolish decision. The Bible says in Proverbs 19, let's go over there to Proverbs 19. We're going to be back in 1 Timothy 6 in a moment, but let's go to Proverbs 19, look at verse 20. Proverbs 19, verse 20 and 21. The Bible says, hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Now notice verse 21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Would you read verse 21 with me now? There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. You know, we can say, oh, I'll do this and that, and I'll wiggle here a little, and, you know, whatever, and I'll do this, and this is going to work out. Well, God says there are many devices in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. We are fools to not take heed to God's counsel. So it's important. it's important to seek the Lord and to seek a godly individual that we can bounce some ideas off of. The Bible tells us in Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. So just seeking counsel is not what we're saying, but seeking godly counsel. The Bible is really saying that. It's not just seeking counsel. You can seek counsel from some financial guru, and you know what? It might be bad counsel. It really might be. Because if that person does not love the Lord, if they don't fear God, if they don't read the Bible, there's a lot of things they're going to be missing. Because they're going to be evaluating things from man's understanding. And there may be parts that are okay, but there's often things that are very contrary to actually what God says. So seek godly counsel. There's organizations out there that financial organizations, like I've heard of Kingdom Advisors. And sometimes there's people you can get in contact with that love the Lord, and they also have a pretty good handle on financial questions, and that can be helpful. But we need to seek godly counsel. I would say I brought this book here, and I'd like to order some more of these, because I found this book to be simple but very helpful. And this was written by Howard Dayton, and there's a program that still goes on that is called compass1.org, and they have a radio program and that kind of thing. Well, Howard Dayton wrote this book, Your Money Counts Now More Than Ever, and it is a really practical book on everything from earning, spending, saving, investing, giving, and getting out of debt. It's a very, very good book, and I'd be glad to. It was in the church library here. And so that's a way to get counsel too, is a book that is Bible-based that really helps to deal with practical things in the 21st century. All right? So let's go just a little further. We're recognizing the importance of being honest in our finances. We're recognizing the importance of seeking counsel at times, especially with major decisions, and all the time, really, in getting that foundation of God's counsel into our life. But then, number five, I want you to recognize money's purpose. And now we're going to go back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy in chapter 6. Money's purpose. What really is the purpose for money? Well, we read a few verses earlier in this chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 6. But now let's look at verse 17. The Bible says, charge them that are rich in this world, or instruct them, or warn them, that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So, I want you to notice, first of all, that money is not for us to trust in. It really isn't. It sneaks in there to kind of take the place of God. It really does. The provision, the security, all of that. But God is our provider. God is, and that's what he said. He said, beware, remember in Deuteronomy 8? Beware, when you come, you build houses, you live in them, you cultivate fields, and you eat the fruit thereof, and you're full, and you're surrounded with blessing and wealth. He says, remember who gave that to you. Remember what I've said. Remember my law. Don't forget my word. He says, I am the one who gives you the power to get wealth. Our trust should never transfer from God to money. Never. Doesn't matter how good our job is. God is to be our confidence. It's not spiritual to be poor. You can be rich and be a godly person. There are many in the Bible, in fact. Job, for one. Job was a wealthy man, almost the most wealthy man of his day. And he was a godly man. He was a faithful man. And so there are poverty-stricken people that are, some are godly, some are not. The point is, we need to be godly and we need to honor God. But what is money's purpose? Well, it's never to be our trust. It says here that we should not trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And then verse 18 says, that ye do good, that ye be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. So, here's money's purpose. I'll just make it really simple. Money's purpose is to live and to give. That's the purpose of money, to live and to give. That's pretty simple. And that's what God's word teaches us. It's for living. Food and clothing, let us be there with content. Giving, he says in verse 18 here, he says that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. God loves, we could go to other passages, God loves a cheerful giver, right? And so he wants us to care about the needs of others. He wants us to have a generous heart, to have hospitality towards others, to be faithful, to honor him and to support his work. And all of those things are Bible principles. But money is to live and to give. So what's the purpose of money? The purpose of money is to, help me now, to live and to give. It's never to be our confidence. You know, at the bank, they call them, you put a bunch of money in the bank and take out a CD or something. You know, they call it securities. But you know what? It really isn't. Our security should be in God. That's how money and God sometimes become competing masters. And God says, you can't serve two. So we need to keep God's focus right, to live and to give. That's why giving and being generous in giving is an important thing, because it helps us to remember whose it is, and it also helps us to not trust and to hoard money, but to recognize, hey, God gave, God is my provider, I'm going to bless others, I'm going to do. Now, God didn't say we need to give it all away, that's for sure, because the two purposes are to live and to give. God wants you to live. All right? He provides for our daily needs. And so, and oftentimes he provides through hard work. And like I say, the Bible talks much about being a diligent worker and industrious. And the opposite, God says, if a man is not willing to work, he should not eat. Right? So, and obviously that's a person who's able to work, which is pretty much all of us. But all right, so recognize money's purpose. I had a few more things definitely that are important to touch on that we will need to work on next time. All right, next week, Lord willing. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, which is very practical for daily life, and help us to seek the counsel of what the Bible says about handling and managing our finances. And as we go a little deeper here as well and get some practical things about saving and a spending plan and all of those details and debt and how to manage that, help us to be able to apply the timeless truth of your word to practical situations in our lives, that we would truly be faithful with what you have blessed us with, and that our faithfulness in a few things would also allow us to be faithful with greater things, if you will. But Lord, help us in whatever state we are to be content. Help us to have a confidence in you and not in our pocketbook. Help us to recognize that the joy of the Lord is our strength, not the joy of some wealth. There are many wealthy people who are very, very sad, who are very discontent and miserable. Lord, contentment is a disposition, whether rich or poor. Help us to have it. Help us to trust you. Lord, I thank you for this. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.